today, someone, many, will take this to heart and, Father, follow through with what the message will entail in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we began to talk about phileo love. That's friendship love. Remember we said agape love is a love that is unconditional and it does not have to be returned unto you. It's the kind of love that God has towards us. We didn't earn it. He gives it to us. Even when we're in rebellion, he still loves us, right? No matter what. He didn't approve of what we're doing and there's consequences to our sin. Yeah, all that's true. But he still loves us. We never lose our love, right? Even for our children when they're in rebellion. So that agape love is unconditional love. And it's love that does not have to be returned. We said that phileo love in the Bible, when it talks about phileo love, that's friendship love. And that's a love that has to be returned. It's a response. To have a friendship, you have to have a mutual sharing of that love. And so that's what we started last week, and we talked about it, and it was called phileo. Okay? Today I want to begin by making you aware of one of the most popular objections people have toward entering into deeper relationships. Okay? When we talk about friendships, we're talking about entering into deeper relationships, not surface relationships, because I don't consider you having a real friend if it's just a superficial, you know, shake the hand on a Sunday morning, how you doing, you go off and you never speak to him ever again. Okay? We're talking about deeper relationships. We're talking about a phileo love, a friendship love, one that's given and one that's given back in return. But one of the major, most popular objections that people have towards entering into any kind of friendship today is they're scared. They're scared. A lot of believers are scared of anything deeper than these surface relationships that we talk about. They don't want intimate friends. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But they don't want intimate friends. Fellowship consists of a hearty handshake at church. Most churches you go into, everybody's handshaking. Not a lot of churches you go in where you actually embrace. I know I've had a lot of people come through here, and that's one of the things they'll say is, God, you guys really love each other, and you embrace each other. And sometimes people don't like their space invaded, if you want to call it that. But again, it does consist of more than a hearty handshake, a friendship. Because of past hurt, up walls which almost no one can penetrate. I'm going to say that again, because it's a thrust of the ministries that we have here at this church. Because of past hurts, people put up walls which almost no one can penetrate. Perhaps you would like to have a closer friend than you have right now. That's been on your mind. If so, why not ask God to send that someone in your life? Have you ever thought of that? You're complaining that you don't have a really, really close friend like, you know, John was to Jesus? Just ask him to send someone into your life that you can have as one of those. Do not let past failures rob you of a rich friendship love experience. Because a true friendship is a love exchange. It's a love experience. And if you allow past hurts or past failures not to get back up on the horse again or not to seek out that close friendship, that one, and then that three, and then that 12, remember? If you allow past hurts to keep you out of church, or to entering into your spiritual gift, or to do whatever is hindering, that devil just smiles because he wants to keep you from that kind of an exchange, that kind of a love, that kind of a service. So don't let these past failures rob you of that rich friendship. Of course, not all friendships are beneficial or lasting. Amen? Not all friendships are beneficial or lasting. Our trust factor due to past bruises needs rebuilding. If you've had a friend and you've trusted them, or if you've trusted your pastor and you don't trust them now, or if you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, just friend, obviously, that, you know, there's been a breach or whatever, trust does have to be re-earned. We need to learn to be able to trust one another, just like we came to trust Jesus. There are steps that have to be taken. And, you know, if you're waiting for the other person to do that, then you know what? You may wait and never have it happen. We need to be bold enough, we need to be strong enough in our walk with God and our relationship with God so secure that if we have breaches in our relationships, let's make the effort and be the first one to go say, hey, look, at least here's the offer. And if it's not received, shake the dust off your feet and move away. But again, the trust factor needs rebuilding. Let your Heavenly Father bring inner healing to any past wounds that you've may incurred. That will keep you from friendships That will keep you from friendships in your family. It will keep you from friendships in your natural family, church family, regular people. Inner healing is necessary. God wants us to apply the salve, the balm of Gilead, if you will, to those bruises and hurts that you've suffered throughout your life. He wants to establish relationships. He's always been into reconciliation. He's always been into restoration. He's not a God that's into division. So think about that. There may be things, believe it or not, in you that need healing in order for restoration to occur. It's not always the other person. We need friendships. We need friendships. We really do today. We need friendships. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one. Does that make sense? Because they have a good return for their labor. It's twice as much. For if either of them falls down, the other will lift up his companion. That's why friends matter. Because you can be lifted up when you're alone. My son, I know you always say that. Help! I've fallen and I can't get up. We've all seen that commercial and we laugh because the person's acting and you can see that they're acting. Don't be an actor in your friendship. If you've fallen and you're hurt, call someone who cares. And if you don't have anybody who cares, that's what I'm talking about today. Seek someone out that you can establish a good, strong friendship with that does. So that when you do fall, or you do need someone at your side, or a shoulder to cry on, or an ear to listen to, you have that person outside of your spouse, of course. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one. Listen, he doesn't do many woes. You know, the woes come at the end of the book, right? They're not good, woes, when the woe comes in Revelation. For those of you that have read Revelation, and he says, oh, the next woe. It's not good. Woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. I don't know if I should go here with this, but I remember Richard Brothers in his home. He went down, and he was on the ground for how many? 3 days. That's an indictment on me, on all of us. For 3 days, he laid on a floor before he got help. Don't let that ever happen in your life, that there's not a day that goes by that someone is not in contact with you, that just cares or calls or is concerned, so that that does not happen. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? How can one be warm alone? And I'm not talking about putting a blanket around you and getting cozy on the couch all by yourself and having alone time. I'm talking about the warmth of friendship, that trust factor, knowing that there's someone else other than God that you know in your life that you can count on, that you can trust, that you can believe in. And again, outside of your spouse, because, you know, that covenant that we enter in with our spouse is great and it's wonderful, but we'll talk about that in a minute. We need a friend besides our spouse. And if one can overpower him who's alone, two can resist him, amen? A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. God's into multiplication. And when we multiply, and when we have those kinds of things going on in our life, we're much better off for it. Do you have a loyal friend in your life? Someone who unselfishly cares about you. A discreet individual in whom you can confide. Somebody who's genuinely interested in you as a person, not just for what you can do for them. Someone who loves you just as you are. Sounds like God with us, right? Billy Graham, just as I am. He takes us for just as we are. Well, we can be the same with other people. With all of our blemishes and all of our faults and our mistakes and the words we said that we shouldn't have said and we wish we could take back and the things that we should have done that we didn't do because of neglect or anything like that, welcome to the human race. But it's when these accumulate, or sometimes, you know what, it's worse when it's just one offense and boom. Those are surface friends. They're not deep friends. Friends who are really friends, when you're having a bad hair day, or you say the wrong thing, or you hurt them, or even wound them, are there in it for the long haul, just like God is with us. Don't you want that in your life? Don't you desire to have those kinds of people surrounding you when you can admit that you don't always get it right? Do you have a friend like that? And remember, spouses don't count because men and women are different. If you haven't noticed, men and women are different. Don't buy into this same-sex stuff. God designed it that way, that we be different, that we come together, that opposites do attract. And yes, that's what I am preaching. It's an abomination to God for the same-sex type of sexual relationships. I'm not talking about friendships now. But that's why when Jonathan and David is read today in today's society, that's the first thought that comes to people's minds. Well, maybe Jonathan and David had an inappropriate relationship. No, it was not inappropriate because God put it in His Word. They were friends. They were intimate with one another from the standpoint of what I just read you. They had an awesome friendship. And if you think about it, when you think about those qualities, genuinely interested in someone, confiding in someone, being discreet with the person, confiding in the person, unselfishly caring, Jonathan and David had that. You need pure friendships of opposite, of the same sex, gender, because we can understand each other better. I can understand a man because we think the same way. Women think that way. You know, men think in a box, women think outside the box. So you need the woman in your life to help get us in the right line. But you also need the other men so that you can go yes and amen a lot instead of, oh, God. Right? Amen. Yes. We're on the same page, Eric. Again, we need someone of our own gender who can relate to the things your spouse just can't understand or may not understand. Here's a big one for you. Our society seems to be afflicted with a hurry sickness which only leaves us breathless and friendless. We're in such a hurry, we get breathless and friendless. In early America, the church house was the place where people gathered to worship God, and enjoy each other's company, believe it or not. When you meet in houses, it's more than just worshiping God, it's fellowshipping with one another. That's why we have home fellowships. That's what they did in the early church. They didn't have these big buildings that have steeples on them and all this stuff that we have today. So because it was in a smaller community, in a smaller way, in a home, if you were a more inviting environment, we could love God and love one another. Here, breathless and friendless. We're busy with ministries because we have so much more to care for. That's not really true in this church because we're a smaller church, but I'm just talking about the churches in general. So many ministries, so many people passing each other by, not having time to stop and share a cup of coffee. In many churches today, people bolt out the door almost before they're called to be released. Praise God, not our church. We practically have to take a cattle prod to move you guys out. But that's awesome. That's a trademark of a divine visitation when the worshipers hate to leave the building and enjoy talking and loving to one another. Right? That's a sign of a healthy church when you don't want to leave, when you want to stay in fellowship, when you want to be part of other people's lives. And it's an indictment on us for prodding you out of here and trying to get you out. Now, out of the sanctuary, yes, because we have prayer corners and we want people to be able to receive prayer and they want to hear each other when they're praying. So take your fellowship and just move it outside the double doors. That's all. Stay out in the foyer, go into the church house, go out to lunch, go to someone's house, whatever, play golf, do what you want to do. Associate, become friends, but please just do it outside these double doors when we have the prayer people in the corners praying with people who have genuine concerns and need God to show up. And that silence helps. Again, it's an awesome thing. And I believe it's a divine visitation when the people have that. Go to lunch with someone. Invite some friends over for dinner. Attend a home group. Go see a movie. Just enjoy someone. And don't focus all on the movie. go ahead, get the popcorn and you know, pour the butter on with somebody else and say, hey, you want some of this butter and all that kind of stuff, you know, and hang out afterwards and stuff like that. It's not all just about the movie that you're going to watch. It's about the fact that you're going with someone and you're watching it together and you're fellowshipping together, and it moves beyond what you're seeing on the screen. Just like in here as we worship together, and a lot of times we're singing songs or you're listening like now to me here and stuff like that. You know, it doesn't involve a lot of interaction between all of you, but that doesn't mean this is where it has to stop. Right. Some of you remember the movie Fireproof. And the wife got a hold of his book, and he said, how did you get that? She said, I found it. She says, what day are you on? He said, 43. She goes, there's only 40. He said, who says I have to stop? Who says you have to stop when the service goes, okay, you're released? Who says it has to stop? There's Saturday nights. There's home groups. There's times when you can pick up the phone and invite somebody over for dinner. Even if you only have, you know, I was going to say Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know where that went to, but macaroni and cheese. You don't have to put on a big spread with all the greatest silverware that you got and stuff like that. You know, put out a blanket and go out back and just get some chicken. And talk, and share, and pray. That's a novelty. This is what God wants. He wants us to do that with Him, really, in a way, is to spread a blanket out and just sit there and chat with Him and talk to Him and chat back and forth. That's what friends do. It's what friends do. Enjoy the relationships God's brought into your life. Don't take them for granted. Enjoy them. Enjoy the ones that He's brought into your life. They don't come into your life by chance. I don't believe in that. What a healthy sign of a local church. God, enjoying God in worship and enjoying each other in fellowship. Isn't that really the first two commandments? God, and love your neighbor as yourself. Beyond that, the whole law can be summed up in those two. Enjoying God in worship and enjoying each other in fellowship. One of the things God's restoring in this hour is genuine covenant relationships in the family of God. So why do some people remain lonely? Basically, because they do not initiate friendships themselves. Because they don't initiate friendships themselves. We are always waiting on the other person to begin them. Let the other person make the phone call. Let the other person make the invitation. Let the other person. Oh, I've reached out 5 times and they've not answered that. Not, you know, whatever. Is there a number? If God's telling you that you're going to enter into a relationship or this is the one you feel like you really need to pursue, don't give up after one shot. It's like coming into a church service and leaving and say, oh, I never want to see that church again because, you know, maybe there was one person you didn't like there. Truthfully, you're not coming for them. You're coming for Him. And then you establish those. It's like anything else. We have to work at friendships. We have to work at our marriage. We have to work at a relationship, right? It doesn't always come natural. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Yes, He's ready to facilitate it. Yes, it can be easy, but we have to yield. And that's our part. And people think that, you know, they eliminate that. It's just supposed to happen. I get saved and everything's just supposed to happen. My life's supposed to be in total order, no more chaos, no more problems. Everything's going to just come my way. We have to yield, and trust. And we have to go through valleys, and we got to climb on mountaintops and go through valleys and mountaintops because the terrain changes in every day of our life. Monday morning comes, everything's great on Sunday, and then boom, you get that phone call. And devastation could be around the corner. I'm not saying that's coming from God, but we have to learn how to deal with it. That's why friends are so important. That's why you need a shoulder. I'll never forget when I got the phone call that my father died. I stood there, and it was just so matter of fact. It was like the doctor who told my mom. I mean, he was so insensitive. My mom walked into the hospital that day to visit my dad, and the doctor walked up and said, your husband's dead. That's exactly what he said. Your husband's dead. No one should ever be able to be a recipient of some news like that in that manner of speaking. Ever. Especially if a Christian. The way we say things, the way we do things, the manner in which our countenance, all of that matters. It matters to God, and it really matters to each other. So, don't wait for the other person. It's time to establish meaningful friendships. Solomon spoke of 4 areas, which I'm going to conclude with, four areas where friendships serve a unique purpose. Why? Why should I have a friend? I like being alone. I don't need anybody. I've got God. I've got my spouse. I don't need another person in my life. If that's all I ever have, it's enough. Yeah, maybe. But there's four unique areas and purposes that friendships provide. Number one, friendships serve a purpose in our work. In our work. This is what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. It makes sense. When we help one another, we're able to get more done. When we have work days and 20 guys show up, oh my gosh, do you know what we could do with 20 guys on a work day at anybody's house? Let's pick a house to go to and take 20 guys with us, and you'll do more than that person could do in a year's time. Imagine that. Father loves team ministry. Father loves team ministry, not solo. Number two, friendships serve a purpose in our walk. In our walk, not just our work, but our walk. Ecclesiastes 4:10. Solomon's the wisest guy. I think he's the one to listen to. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there's not another to lift him up. And we just talked about that. When someone gets themselves into an impure situation, I'm going to move beyond the physical. They often have no one to turn to for prayer and personal ministry. Isn't it a shame that when we get and we fall and we move into these areas of our life, we're judged? We're not supposed to, but we do. And then those people that are your friends, you're afraid, if you don't have a real friend, you're really scared to share with anybody, right? When you get into those kinds of situations, for fear of, right? We have no one to turn to for prayer and personal ministry. So what do? We go before God and we just weep. And that's good because God does comfort us, but sometimes you need hands and feet. You need a hug. You need someone else who's been there, done that, gotten a t-shirt, who can reassure you and quote you scripture and be a friend even in and with all your blemishes. So friendships have a purpose in our walk with God. When we're outside of the lines, you're a friend enough to show somebody that, hey, you're walking outside the line, let's get back inside that line. Galatians 6:1. Brethren, even if anyone's caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, hopefully at the time, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Not meanness, not judgmentalism. Restore them in gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. That means go with wisdom and discernment and don't go into areas you can't handle. Call someone who can. If you know your area is weak in your life and you know that you've struggled in it yourself and you've got somebody who's really struggling in it now, you may not be the best crutch they need. God's number one, we know that, but then go to someone who may be wiser than you in that area or maybe stronger. This is Christian life. It's okay to look for people who are strong. Hey, if I am sick and I'm in the hospital, I don't always want to call a pastor. I want to call someone with the gift of healing. If I need encouragement, right, I'm not going to go to the administrator. Who's going to tell me all about how our budget isn't being met. No offense to you, Pam, because you know you're not just an administrator. But I want to go to somebody who's just got that gift of encouragement, a Barnabas, who's going to lift me up even if the situation seems just totally gone. They still find a way to be encouraging. That's a gift. It's difficult to restore ourselves. We need the Lord and others to help us. The paralyzed man in the Bible was carried by four friends to the presence of Jesus. Wow, that's friendship. That's friendship. He was paralyzed. He couldn't get to Jesus. Four friends said, yeah, you will. Number three. We said it was in our work. Friendships matter in our work. We said friendships matter in our walk. And also, number three, friendships serve a purpose for our warmth. Our warmth. Ecclesiastes 4:11. Furthermore, if two lie down together, what? They keep warm. but how can one be kept warm alone? How does that apply? Our spiritual fervency is aided by others who are hot for God. I'm going to say that again. Our spiritual barometer, temperature, how spiritual we can be, is aided. It's encouraged by others who are hot for God. How many of you know that? We should develop friendships with those who are more zealous than ourselves. If I'm looking for a friend, I don't want one that's more depressed than I am. I want one that's going to encourage me and take me to the next level. I'm going to be in a church where the pastor is going to take me to the next level. I want to be in a church where their worship is going to take me to the next level. I want to be in a church where you get, do you understand? You want to surround yourself with those who are going to sharpen you as iron sharpens iron. And yes, there are times when you're not going to get always the best message from those that you want to go to get a good message or worship that you think that you need or that other stuff like that, because you know what? You're not going to always stay on the mountaintop. We don't always do. We all have bad hair days at times, except for those of us that maybe do not have hair. So there has to be forgiveness and a little bit of leeway. Hey, you know what? We're not always going to be on our A game. We're not always going to bring the best, you know, of everything that we are. Except Amy, no, you always win, so she's always going to sing well. That's just her motto. She wins. She's going to always sing well. But the rest of us, we're going to have days where we're not on top of that mountain. So for our warmth and that hot, zealous nature, we need people who are hot and zealous for God. How many of you here are hot and zealous for God? Amen, right? And number four, friendships serve a purpose in our warfare. Oh man, our warfare, how we need friends in warfare, amen? Yes. Ecclesiastes 4:12, and if one can overpower him who's alone, two can resist him, and a threefold cord is quickly not torn apart. Or is quickly torn apart. This is warfare, folks. Some of our battles would be won much more quickly if we could call for the assistance of others to stand against the enemy alongside us. Some of us are facing battles right now, and we don't make the phone call. We don't call up the prayer warriors. We don't call up the intercessors. We just try to get it done on our own because we don't want to know we got a problem. Now, you know, we utilize it a lot, and yeah, I'm not talking to us as a church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. There's so many people that don't want to share their junk or their stuff because they're just afraid of how they're going to be retaliated against verbally and or in their mind. You know what I mean? And so they're not going to call for prayer support, but we need it. When the enemy's coming against us and we fall, and sometimes we do, it doesn't look pretty. And so when you're sharing that with someone else, they're going, you know, we get it. I've been there, done that, gotten a T-shirt. Do you want to get over it? Yeah, well, let's go. Let's pray. We need friends. That's what friends are for. Reminds me of Mowgli in that old, that's what friends are for. Remember the birds, you know, that sang that song? That's what friends are for. I know, you have to be there and be old enough to understand that movie. They were vultures, by the way, that were singing that. If you saw that movie, they were vultures. And they sang, that's what friends are for. You don't have to be a vulture. We can be those kinds of friends that come alongside when the enemy is hammering somebody and be there to hug them and hold them and pray and call upon the God of heaven who is greater than he that is in this world. Deuteronomy 32:30. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? One upon 1,000, you've heard it. Two upon what? 10,000. Three? How many could we defeat if we had three? Four? Five? A church? What that could do to the enemy's camp. Folks, the message today is clear. We need close friendships, and we need to be bold enough to initiate them ourselves. The benefits of close friendships are well worth our effort. So don't let past hurts stand in your way. True friends may be hard to find, but the Bible calls us to seek for them diligently, and you will find them. You will wind up very blessed for your efforts.